Ron McLean, of course, is the host of Hockey Night in Canada, Coach's Corner. He's written, I'm going to use the word breathtaking, a piece on Gord Downie for Sportsnet.ca. Ron, we really appreciate you joining us this morning.
That's a beautiful piece, Ron.
It's remarkable. You can write a bit, you know?
Well, I wish I could, but on those, for some reason, the Gord Downie items, Stephen and Jeff, you both know when you write from a position of thinking about the other, it's the easiest and loveliest way to write. So it was a touching human being who had such a great impact on me every time I watched him, both on stage and in the things that he did on the ice and for charity. Amazing individual. So it's lovely to write on his behalf.
Ron, you know, there's a million things to talk about, but you know, when you heard the news this morning, you know, putting the last, you know, what it is, a year and a half, you know, in perspective, you know, Gord's final act, you know, starting with those concerts, and I know you were at the first show in Victoria, the first show of the last tour, Through the Secret Path. You know, how he chose to play out the final chapter to me is, you know, like, we're going to be talking about the Hip for a long time and about their music and listening to their music, but you know, right now, what's first and foremost for me is kind of how he chose to play out the last chapter of his life.
Yeah, me too, Stephen. It's two couplets, right? Two word sentences. One is thank you. So he did the thank you with the tour, which was a way to maybe put a little nest egg aside for the members of his other family, the band. And then the most gripping moment in the movie, the documentary account of the tour, is when he's going to appear on stage at his hometown, Kingston, and all he does is self-talk endlessly in the moments before hitting the stage, saying, if I could only remember two words, I can't remember any of my lyrics, I can't remember anything, it seems, if I could just remember two words, and the two words were First Nations. That just, you know, it really is an unbelievable legacy that he brought us together as a nation, he brought us together as his band, he brought his family together. I'll never forget sitting with Patrick having beer. Patrick is his brother, at the Empress Hotel after the first stage, and I'll never forget his two agents, Bernie and Patrick, morning after that first night. You know, you saw it in the documentary shoot, and some of us were around the tour to know how scared everybody was. There was always a feeling that, you know, this shoe was going to drop and it wouldn't go as well as it did, but it did. And we just count our blessings. And I have so many images of people really close to Gord Downie and the Tragically Hip who feel grateful to this day.
Ron, you're the perfect person to ask this question of. What does it take for a person to have the ability to talk to people from, you know, across the country, different ethnic backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different regions? What does it take to talk to them and have them listen to you and not tune you out? Because you do that. Gord certainly did that for the most part. What is the secret to that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just was with Gordon Lightfoot yesterday, Jeff, and I was asking him about songwriting. He said it's always an impossible question to answer, right? I think Towns Van Zandt was a troubadour, was one of my idols in songwriting. Certainly Gordon Lightfoot. None of them can account for it. It's this mysterious thing that pops out of the air and into their head and through their, you know, instruments, whether it's the guitar or the pen. I think there are certainly, there's a sociological element to the way they approach life. They're definitely sociologists. I think they're honest. They're raw. They have the ability to realize that for all their, you know, as I said in the item, and I haven't even read my own item in the last couple of days, but I know, I always say that genius needs to meet with its subject. And Patti Smith was a great rock and roll singer, but she really was just a poet who happened to end up putting some music to her lyrics. And Gord, I feel a little bit the same way, is a poet, an incredible writer who was lucky enough to find music as the subject for his genius. And there's luck in that. And then after that, he just worked at it, like Gordon Lightfoot, who just sits, and the work ethic is, you know, I think that prevents them from dwelling on some of the vicissitudes of life, some of the things that they don't like about themselves and they don't like about life. In order to dwell properly, they write. They just work. And he did that. And I think that's for all of us sort of the secret, is to not allow ourselves to stop working, or otherwise we get into the prison of the self. And he escaped the prison of the self wonderfully.
Ron, could you talk, you know, because, you know, you're in a position to do it a little bit. Talk about Gord the person. You know, like, he's like, artists are complicated people. He was a complicated guy in a lot of ways, you know, and played a character on stage in front of tens of thousands of people. And, you know, guys saying, you know, had that power to kind of hold them in the palm of his hand. But, you know, he was something else when he was not standing on the stage in a hockey rink. You know a bit about that. Could you talk about it?
He's two things to me. He's serenity. His smile is unique. You could always feel that bemused as opposed to amused expression on his face, and I loved that. So he's extremely deep in his forgiveness, his willingness to look at the situation and almost attach a sympathy or an empathy to everything that he saw. That was one thing, and the other thing that made him great was the wink. You know, he had a wink in everything that he said and did. He understood Canada's great, but everything that he said about Canada was actually a bit tutorial. He was trying to fix us. He was trying to enlighten us. He wasn't saying, God, we're great, and I'm so proud of how great we are. That was never his motive. You know, he wanted us to try and reach a little better period of enlightenment. And so, yeah, that... I love his smile. When I saw him, one of my favorite moments was at Dan Snyder's charity golf tournament in Elmira. Danny had perished in a car crash, Ilya Kovalchuk, and they left a party together, and somehow Danny lost control. Oh, he didn't. Danny Heatley was driving the car that Danny Snyder was in. So there was a funeral, and then there was a charity event held to raise money for a new arena in Elmira. And I had arrived from Prince Edward Island after attending Brad Richards' charity golf. And I was kind of hungover and hadn't slept. And I remember being whisked out to the tee for the start of the shotgun golf. And coming the other way on a cart was Gord Downie with that smile. And it just, he had the amazing gift of making you relax and feel. Again, when I had a beer with him at the Empress Hotel after stop one in Victoria, it was all about Hockey Night in Canada. It was all about what I should try to do in my return, you know, to more of a principal role. And God, he was a generous guy. That's what I think about him.
You know what? I've heard from Steven today, who got to know Gord and the band a little bit. You obviously got to know Gord the band a little bit. I never did. I've got to ask you this, because you know what? This is unless I'm mistaken, these are all the original band members, right? These are all the guys that got together at the residence at Queen's University and played at Alfie's and went on to fame. Now, Gord strikes me, from what everybody said, as a lovely guy and a complicated guy. How the hell did all these guys stay together, Ron, for so long through all those, you know, those bars and lousy early morning flights and crappy weather and bad food? How did these guys stay together for so long? What is it about these bandmates, these teammates, that allowed them to hang in together for so long?
It's forgiveness. In a word, it's forgiveness. The minute you can allow for the others and try to put yourself in their shoes, it's easier to do. And, you know, the only way to be great is to last. So when you had Jim Cuddy at Blue Rodeo on, I mean, Jim and Greg, have, you know, artistically, I'd say Jim is the guy that holds the business together, and then together they collaborate and they fight and they, you know, they do everything in their power to create art. And art can take you down. You know, again, Patti Smith is an example. I think of Robert Mapplethorpe, her muse, her boyfriend. When Robert was dying of AIDS, he said, Patti, did art get us? Art is a tough gig, and that's why people are deemed to be out there and indifferent and, you know, maybe obnoxious or cantankerous, all these things that when you're crafting art, you know, show. But if you can forgive, then it's easy to hold the band together. And Gord did a great job as a, you know, I liken him to Tom Petty in this respect. I saw Tom Petty in Baltimore this summer, so God, you know, what a stunning summer and year. But I watched him thank the band at that stop in Baltimore. I've never seen anything like it. He thanked each member of the Heartbreakers with a good two-minute dissertation, the final of whom was Mike Campbell, the guitar player. And he said, you know, we met in Gainesville, and I said to myself, Mike Campbell, you are going to be in my band for a long, long time. And that's how Gord was with his guys. He knew that Gordy Sinclair, the bassist, was kind of probably the best musician in the band, and please don't take any offense, Bobby Baker or Paul Langwalk. They're brilliant guitar players too, but I think Gord Sinclair was a really good engine for the music. Johnny Fay was just a hockey player, rock and roll, great drummer, and then Gord allowed the, you know, he got the creative. He really got the business model going. But one other thing that I really remember back to gratitude and his ability to say thank you is he appeared at the Kumbaya Festival in Toronto at Ontario Place, was called at the time. And Andrew Cash, who, you know, was a really great person, politician, singer, songwriter, he sang Hey Maria with Andrew Cash, and it just blew me away. It was, again, and Blue Rodeo does this all the time. They always give young acts an opportunity. So he just really was like Gordon Lightfoot feels about his band and like Jim Cuddy feels about his. These guys were a hockey team. They did everything to constantly improve. They worked at it tirelessly. Gord and his work ethic on writing is so admirable. And then after that, on a hockey team, you know, there's everybody wants the puck. Everybody wants the goal.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to not put self-interest ahead of the greater good. And that's the secret.
You know, Ron, I think this is in the film. I'm trying to remember with this, if that's why I know this, but, you know, there are a couple of interesting, you talk about the kind of the band staying together and the fact that it didn't turn into Gord Downie and the Tragically Hip, right? They were a unit. You know, two things. They split the publishing.
Yes.
Which is a big deal, right, in music. They split it equally among the members of the band. So that, you know, that kind of, there was kind of a democratic aspect to the, you know, the finances of the band. And I remember the guys in the band talked about this. You know, their relationship musically was with each other. They looked to each other on the stage. Gord's
was
with the crowd.
Yes.
Gord is with the crowd. His relationship was with the crowd. You watch them. They're with each other. And that, you know, in a way, that's the way it has to be, right? Because, you know, they have to be a team behind him in a certain way. They understand their role within that. And they allowed Gord to be that guy. So there's no kind of... Look, the fissures in bands, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why it happens, right? Personalities and, you know, people mature at different rates and, you know, all kinds of things happen. But those guys understood that and I think allowed that to be.
Even if Mark Messier was a Hart Trophy winner, he knew Wayne Gretzky was the guy. He allowed for Wayne to be Wayne. And that, again, is that, you know, when you are in the company of genius, it's pretty easy to spot, and I think the four other members of the band recognize this incredible vocabulary, this unusual vocabulary. But I often say he's our kind of Shakespeare, that Shakespeare was 21,000 words to the average in the day of 2,000 in a vocabulary, and Gord was the same way. He was inventive. He, you know, his soliloquies, his ability to branch out with words was just otherworldly, and it was nice to be around that, and it was nice to know that he had showmanship. You know, obviously in the movie they talk a lot about his shining his or polishing his shoes, how he chose his outfits. You know, Steve Martin always said you need to be just a little bit better dressed than the person in the crowd, and Gord knew all those little tricks. He understood lighting. He understood showbiz. So that was, I'm sure, for them a labor of love to encourage that and not take offense if suddenly he was batting eyelashes at his audience and not his bandmates.
Well, I always loved Gord's line that he, you know, and I'm sure, you know, it's one of those, he liked being a bit cryptic, but people would ask him and he would, you know, whether he thought of himself as a musician or as a writer, and he said that he thought of himself as a dancer. And I always thought that was perfect.
It is perfect. He was a showman. He was definitely a front man, and I've often said this too, he was a goaltender. So Greg Keeler of Blue Rodeo is a goaltender. Luke Doucette of Whitehorse is a goaltender. Alan Doyle of Great Big Sea is a goaltender. Andy Mays of the Sky Diggers is a goaltender. Don't ask me, you know, I could go on and on, but there is something to that. You know, you put yourself in the crosshairs of the toughest gig of them all. It's not bad training.
Ron, how did, and I don't want to betray any type of confidence here, but did Gord change at all in the final, this is going to sound silly, I realize that, but in the final 2 years, not in terms of his health, but Gord as Gord, did he change at all over the course of this, you know, the progression of this awful disease?
No, not that I saw, because as I said, when I saw him sing Andrew Cash's song at Kumbaya, right, I realized that he was very much on an agenda that was to empower people to think about others and do the right thing. So I felt he really latched onto that, and obviously he was deeply moved by the plight of the First Nations and Truth and Reconciliation, and he chose that as maybe the area in which to channel his last days, which was great. And then I remember, like I said, the conversation at the Empress Hotel stunned me. I thought it would be about the tour, about cancer, about a million things other than me and what he wanted and saw for me in my return. So that's how he was. He was completely fascinated with the human condition, and he could articulate that. He was just a great, he became maybe the best essayist Canada's ever known. I just happened to put it to song.
You know, Ron, you were in Rio at the Olympics when the final concert happened. What, from, you know, from a distance, did you have a kind of a sense of what was going on in your country?
No, it's neat. You definitely don't. And Stephen, you've been at Olympics, and you know, you're always astounded at the reaction from home to anything.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt disconnected. I remember it was eerie, like beyond eerie, to see the images of parties gathering all across Canada. So, I mean, I've been to enough Olympics and through enough of this racket to know how this all works. But I was listening down the line to a producer came into my ear and said, Ron, I know you were going to mention the parties that are happening in various points across Canada and that, you know, the Market Square is filled with X number of people, but Scott Russell's going to take care of that. So my mind was racing. I had a 90-second intro, and, well, I don't know, 20 of seconds of that would have been dedicated to that little bit of information. So now I had to find 20 new seconds. So I thought I'll just introduce a couple of the Olympians sitting around me, and they were more, I mean, they were young, so they weren't really tragically hip fans, and they were kind of interested in the spectacle of television being staged. And I mean, God, it was a. And then I got thinking about Gordon Victoria helping me, and I said to myself, "Okay, Ron, this is not about you. This is about Gord, and we all want to thank Gord." And that Patrick, his brother, said that, you know, that's the sentiment that they loved. They wanted, and lots of people did it. They wanted to hear thank you. It was really important to. Meant a lot to Gord to hear thank you from various people. So Patrick emphasized that to me in Victoria, and I took that sort of mentality into doing my little 90-second intro for the TV. But it was I didn't feel pressure because I felt love, right? And that's an easy way, again, remove yourself from the equation and go at it from a point of love. It's easy to do, but I butchered it. I say in the piece, I think, I got the lyric wrong. The lyric in The Wherewithal is, I always loved that guy. He's not on TV anymore. To get out before, he had the wherewithal. That's how it plays out. Gord always, you know, played with words. I got it wrong. I said, I always loved that guy. He's not on TV anymore. He had the wherewithal to get out. So I basically said it was the night Christmas before. I got the words mixed up. No one will ever know because it's not a massive hit. But I certainly knew at the moment I did it, and I thought, nice going. Anyway, your heart was in the right place.
You're forgiven, Ron.
Now, Ron, next Saturday, as is the case for many Canadians, most Canadians, are going to turn on Hockey Night in Canada. I'm not asking you to give anything away, but how are you, being a personal friend of Gord, how are you going to hold up? How are you going to handle that?
I haven't even thought of it, Jeff. You know, I honestly haven't. I've thought of it.
I mean, that question with all due respect, by the way.
Yeah. I. You know what happened last night? I played hockey late. I went to bed at about 2. We had the 11:30 game, and there was a bit of a skirmish in the game. So I woke up to Travis's phone call asking your producer, you know, for you to come on, for me to come on. And that was the first I heard of it. That was the way I heard it, which was a very strange. I'm not a phone guy like I should be. So I haven't thought that through, but I know that we will obviously want to tailor a nice opening. And, that's again, there's a sense of love and gratitude that will be, you know, in a short amount of time, I'll just share with Canadians. We all kind of, that's the beauty of our country. We're so, we're best when we're fighting for others. That's our soldiers, our military. And we're certainly best when we're relying on each other. So Peter Zosky kind of taught me that. You know, this is just Canadians showing ourselves to each other, Hockey Night in Canada. So it's always a treat to show Gord.
Ron, we're going to let you run. Really appreciate you doing this. I just realized, I haven't, you know, we haven't on this show sort of extended personal condolences to friends, family, and bandmates. It's just... quite frankly, a lot of this has been kind of made up as we're going along. So, I'm going to take this opportunity because I know that you and Gord were friends. Just really extend condolences to all the people who know Gord better than those of us who know him just as a Canadian musician. And I really appreciate you joining us. And honest to God, the piece in Sportsnet.ca is tremendous.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks, Stephen. And yes, same thing. Condolences, deepest sympathies to the Downies and the band.